The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Is up, wackos. Hello and welcome to another riveting episode of Without a Country.
Absolutely riveting.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
I am Shane Smith.
And today I have been given an evil dose of power in the form of a soundboard. And to that I say,
do you love it?
Wow.
I'm gonna have the best.
Oh,
I'm gonna have
man.
The best. You know what? You know what? We're all getting a big break today, Shane. You know, so we're all, you know, I've been praying to the Lord, and by that I mean doing witchcraft, you know, just to get my break, and I finally got it, and I say,
thanks, bitch, have a great day.
Wow.
Woo! Corinne needed a win.
My soundboard would be exclusively Alex Jones. Well, just all the craziest shit he's ever said. Just like, vampires are coming for your children.
That's
like,
this is a great time for it, though, because his defamation trial just started.
Yeah.
So it's going to, I feel like we're going to be getting a little dose of Alex Jones again. You know, previously we only got it on InfoWars and obviously on Tim Dillon's podcast. But now we'll have access to it in our news sources, which is so fucking exciting.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yes. Okay. So this top part of the Google Doc is just me and you talking.
I
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that we use Google Doc as text messages during the day.
Why wouldn't we text?
I don't know, because it's kind of like cuter that we talk to each other on the Google Doc.
It's like passing notes in school.
It's really cute that we do that.
Yeah.
All right. So a couple corrections from last week. I heard you guys. Listen, I was very clear that I am terrible at math, and over the course of the week, I felt the ghost of my dad laughing at me. Reminder, my dad was a math genius, literally got a perfect math SAT score, and would have to reteach me math every single day. Like, whatever the lesson I learned in school was, I never understood it, and I would have to go home, and he would reteach it to me for, like, 1 to 2 hours. And then I understood it, because he was a really good teacher, but I just had no idea what was going on. So we were talking about donations and Elon Musk and his wealth last year and him donating last week and him donating 0.02%. And we tried to figure out, or I tried to figure out, what 0.02% of $40,000 was. And I mistakenly said 800. And the answer is actually 8, which I know now because obviously I multiplied 0.02 times 40,000, which would be 2%, because 0.2 is 20%. I know this. You know, it makes me worried for the accounting of my store, but
Yeah, okay, that's pretty fun. Oh man, the soundboard.
And the second correction, so there was someone with the last name that we were talking about. I can't remember if it was Ed, the famous New York City mayor, or another COCH. I mean, KOCH.
The Koch brothers, the Koch brothers, or whatever.
Okay, so I don't know how their name is pronounced, but people were like, it's pronounced Koch, which is the German pronunciation. But all I can say is the only Koch I know is Ed Koch, former mayor of New York City, also of the people. Court, and he pronounced his last name famously K-O-C-H as Koch.
So, hey, listen to this.
And I checked that. I verified it on multiple things that New Yorkers weren't mispronouncing it. So I don't know the answer to that.
You don't have to say it the German way here in America, and you can thank my grandpa.
What? He killed them?
Yeah, because we won World War. That's the thing that they say. Hey, if you like not speaking German, go ahead and thank a veteran.
Oh, okay.
Which isn't even, yeah. I guess.
So that's sure. To clarify last week. But I will say, I think we should continue to make like a blunders every week, because it was the most comments that anytime we just say things correctly, no one interacts with us. No one comments except for if they want to like say that, you know, I look fat or you have too many tattoos. So I think that we should just make a glaring blunder every single week. And I think it'll help the algorithm. Honestly.
I'm going to encourage people who tell me I'm a talentless commie piece of shit. Throw it in the comments.
Yeah.
Why are you going in my DMs? Throw it out in the comments. Let people know how you feel, you know? We need the help.
Well, I love when people say that I, like, you know, am like a Jew scum or like a fat whore, because it does help the algorithm. And like, I just want the comments to be there. I don't really care what they are. We just need to keep this going, keep the traction going. So thank you so much to anyone who said anything. You're trying to hurt us, but you're actually helping us.
Also, that kind of stuff doesn't hurt me because it's so unoriginal.
It is unoriginal. Even when people like roast me in like roast battles, I was always waiting for them to say something that would actually hurt me, which of course I will never reveal what it would be, but I was hoping someone would figure it out and like we could really start playing games, but no one did. It was just the same fat, whore, unfunny shit that everyone says about every chick, and it's like so boring.
I stopped being invited to roast battles because my strategy was to roast myself with the main thing I thought they were going to do immediately and then give them compliments but make it funny. And I would do that every time I was allowed to speak.
Well, that's a different, there's an LA show where it is like a boast rattle.
Yeah. But I would win the roast battle by stealing their jokes before they could do them because they were predictable, and then being nice to them and people, and then it would just be funny that they were being mean.
See, I don't know why they stopped inviting you though, because that seems like a good strategy and lots of people win using unique strategies.
Yeah, they don't like, I think it just made it so unfunny for the other comics who were just like, what are we supposed to fucking,
they should be so more
what am
original.
I supposed to do? That's what I say.
They should be more original, because being original.
That's hot.
Well, now I get to judge roast battles, so I'll take that.
Oh, judging roast battle is my favorite thing, because it's finally me monetizing one of my best skills, which is just being evil.
I know. I was going to get to roast one this week, but now I'm going to be in Utah wrecking a boat instead.
You're wrecking a boat. You gave me a listicle of other things you'd be doing. I didn't see wrecking boat on there.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Okay. All right. Well, who is your enemy of the state this week?
My
enemy of the state.
My enemy of the state is people who don't understand that the president doesn't control gas. That's very frustrating to me.
Wow, this is almost this is probably your most pro Biden stance you've taken throughout the length of the show.
Technically, it's also a pro, because people blame Trump too.
Yeah.
At the time, and I was like, no, there's no fucking wacko meter that he like pulls down to like increase the price of gas. Fuck America. Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, like I think I learned when Hillary Clinton lost the election that politicians don't have as much power as I once thought they did.
Yeah.
And so that was a good learn. You know, that's what I learned from that. You got to learn from sadness.
Yeah, they can't control a lot of things like oil prices. What Hillary can do is have her detractors murdered, though.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, but anyone, if they have the right amount of money and power, can get someone murdered, Shane.
That's very true.
Thank you. I mean, like, that's not, it's not Clinton specific.
It's not Clinton specific.
I mean, even Tanya Harding's family was able to get someone injured. They didn't have that death money, but they had that injure money.
Yeah, yeah. Tanya Harding and Hillary Clinton, equally evil.
I really felt for Tanya Harding when I watched the movie and like information came out later, because even though I was sad for Nancy Kerrigan that her dreams got, you know, shattered by the injury, she always seemed like kind, you know, we didn't want her to win. That wasn't the fun choice to win. She was like the perfect Cinderella princess. You want the trailer park hoe to win. That's way more fun.
Listen, you're preaching to the choir over here. Yeah. I love me a trailer park
hoe. Yeah, Tanya Harding was fucking the best. Oh my God. I was like, is this a business of entertainment? Yeah, that's what we want
to
do.
You're talking to the guy who I think the hottest thing a beautiful woman can do is have one missing front tooth.
Oh, yes. Are you serious? Yes. I was making a joke and then you really
went there. I'm
being
serious. If you're like incredibly hot and put together, but you have like some white trash qualities, like you're missing a tooth and you don't give a fuck, that's so hot to me.
Okay, it is... It is like staggering how many boyfriends I've had who are obsessed with the white trash aesthetic. I'm not including you in that. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I saw you getting nervous. But you're a full missing tooth, not like just a tooth gap.
Hockey style. Like she's like, I lost it in a fight. I love that shit.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. There you go. See, teeth for me, that's like, oh, I need good teeth. I'd rather have bad teeth than fake teeth, but. We'll see. You know, like those Hollywood, just like the strip that looks like they won it from a quarter machine and then they inserted them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I have a bunch of fake teeth, but they were. I went with the make them look real.
Yeah, yours are not like a horse chomping.
Yeah. They're just fucking normal. Yeah. They even pre-stain them because I was like, listen, I brush like once a day. Maybe you gotta fucking make them look like the way they are now because they're not gonna get better than this.
You know, it's like you wonder why I have such a tumultuous relationship with men as a sex, and then you say things like that, and
then I had my
literally know your DMs are flooded with nudes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see.
Yeah, and half my teeth are fake, and women love me. Isn't that crazy?
Oh, God. Okay. My enemy of the state this week is Matt Gaetz. He's been enemy of the state many times, I think, during the course of this show, but he
should be enemy of the show.
Yeah.
Him and DeSantis.
I just can't with him this week. I'm just going to, like, rotate. There's a couple people who will be rotating, but Matt Gaetz is... he doesn't even really deserve the attention because this is what he's looking for. I know it. Yeah. But I would love to sit down with him and, like... and a psychiatrist and do some kind of evaluation because I'm so curious, like, what makes a person the way that he is.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
It's why he's another one. Also, it's going to like ruin our thing. If we put the photo up, I mean, it's not, so there was a bunch of people who had a rally for Ron DeSantis and they brought Nazi flags and stuff. So there's a bunch of Nazis at his thing. There's a big flag that says DeSantis Nation. And then like a woman and a guy just like fully holding Nazi flags. I was like, all right, there it is. DeSantis country. My bad, everybody.
Wait, what do you mean this will ruin us on YouTube?
I don't know. YouTube doesn't like it when you put swastikas up.
Oh, well, that the red one was like the classic swastika in the back.
Yeah, and then swastika classique.
Yeah, and then like the one in the front was some kind of a new take on the
that
swastika.
That was swastika zero.
Yeah, which is what we needed.
It's like Coke and Coke zero.
I've been saying for years the swastika needs a rebrand. Yeah. So I'm so glad that they were able to do that for us. And that takes us to our first article. In Girl. And yes, and that's from Vanity Fair. And it's Matt Gaetz under investigation for sex with a minor says women who support abortion rights are too fat and ugly to get pregnant. The congressman from Florida insisted that anyone who is pro-abortion is 350 pounds and looks like a thumb. Congress is...
Oh, my God. Looks like a thumb is a great insult. It's a street joke, but it's still fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I specifically chose this article because they do talk about like how the joke theft also in that statement. Mm. And this is not... I don't even care. I'm not even like overly mad about Matt Gaetz about this. Like, this is the kind of thing that Republicans say to specifically make a certain type of liberal and feminist angry. And so, like, I posted about it, but I can't fall into the trap. It's like when your little brother kicks you, like, you just walk away.
This is like that, like, pathetic last ditch effort to make someone offended type. Like you've been dating someone for a year and you've been knocking the bottom out of it. And then when you break up, they're like, "It, by the way, your dick is small." And you're like, yeah sure. Okay. Like, you know, you just, he's just saying whatever he thinks is going to hurt people's feelings.
Yeah, absolutely. So Congress is filled with a lot of loathsome, moronic, thoroughly repugnant people, but perhaps none more so than Representative Matt Gaetz, currently under investigation for, reminder, allegedly paying women for sex and separately sleeping with a minor and transporting her across state lines. The Florida legislator responded to the assault on reproductive rights in May by tweeting, "How many of the women rallying against overturning Roe are overeducated, underloved millennials?" I mean, that's a whole generation of people.
What is overeducated? Why is that an insult?
I think it's that same, elitist label that people like to put on liberals.
I mean, listen, I hate academics very much for many of the ways they behave. But
you're extremely educated yourself. Like, you're well read.
Yeah, yeah. Education isn't the issue. It's being trying to be an academic and impress other academics. People who write books about, like, political theory are very important things that lots of Americans need to know about, but they make it dense and fill it with language that's hard to read. It's like the New York Times or whatever, or like some liberal papers making their articles all zhuzhed up and fancy instead of just speaking plainly for everyday Americans.
Oh, I hear you. And that's why Trump won the election. Yeah. I mean, part of it. And that's also why, you know, I wanted to do this show, because I was like, I'm like pretty smart and I have no idea what's going on ever.
Yeah, and that's why I just deeply hate academics. They make shit to impress each other instead of reaching out.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people agreed with our clip and talking about how we kind of need like a Fox News or a New York Post for liberals. And like, people gave me a couple recommendations. One was a meme account, so I was like, I don't know if I can go there, but I did follow it, so thanks for the recommendation.
What was the meme account?
I don't remember. It's in the comment section under the clip that I posted from
there's video news for that kind of stuff, like the Pocket Report.
Yeah, I try not to watch any more video, so like, I actually look forward to reading the news because I'm so videoed out. But anyway, so how many of the women rallying against overturning Roe are overeducated, underloved millennials who sadly return from protests to a lonely microwave dinner with their cats? Until the cat, that sounded great to me, and no Bumble matches.
I love a cat. Also, I love that he's Matt Gaetz on Bumble confirmed. What a weird fucking specific one.
The only place where he could have control. He had to list Bumble because otherwise people could just not swipe on him. But Bumble... Oh, no, Bumble matches, but it's like men are... Okay, whatever. But apparently that was just the start of this overgrown frat boy's ignorant anti-abortion routine, which he followed up on Saturday by telling a room full of teens and young adults that any woman who supports reproductive rights is too ugly for him to fuck. And if we want to just bring a picture up of him to remind everyone what he looks like. Yes, this person who...
Yeah, yeah.
He looks like his face is unfinished. Like, it's just... you see what I'm saying? Like, it's like you were making a claymation character, but, like, you got distracted and you didn't finish the eyes.
He looks like if someone at Pixar was, like, design a rapist. That's what he looks like.
Yeah, that's not great.
Does
okay.
he look a little like one of the Who's in The Grinch?
Yeah, yeah, a little bit.
It.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Also, he's wearing, for someone who hates women so much, he's sure wearing a lot of makeup. Like, no man has a filtered skin like that.
And they
that.
Didn't do it good, too. There's no contouring. He's just one flat fucking color.
Right, but you can see, like, little spikes of hair from the beard that he tried to grow but couldn't coming out.
Damn.
Yes, this is a person who somehow allowed... who is somehow allowed to have a say in making laws, appeared before a group of students at the Turning Point USA Student Action Summit in Tampa and told them that people who are upset about the devastation of abortion rights across the country needn't worry about a lack of access to medical care because no one in his cohort would want to get them pregnant anyway. Have you watched these pro-abortion, pro-murder rallies, Gaetz said. The people are just disgusting. But why is it that the women with the least likelihood of getting pregnant are the ones most worried about having abortions? I hate to break this to you, Matt Gaetz, but like being ugly does not, I don't think statistically affects your chances of getting
There's
pregnant.
No woman uglier than men are pathetic.
Nice. Well, and it's also like for every like hardcore feminist I know has, myself included, has fucked a Trump supporter. So there's something that brings them together. You know this.
I know.
You make a thing every week. He wasn't a Trump supporter when I met him. I didn't know.
It's not that you did it, because I understand
I'm not going to break up with someone a year into a relationship because of a president who we don't know what's going to happen yet. Come on.
Sure, sure. My whole Crazy. Thing is just to hear like every hardcore feminist I know has done it.
But it's 100% true. And I really value that relationship because it really taught me so much about a side that I would have been like just like disinterested in.
Yeah.
And I'm very thankful for it because, again, like it inspired me to do stuff like this.
Yeah, yeah. And I get it. People from different... One of Ben Shapiro's interns tried to fuck me.
Yeah?
Yeah, real thing.
But it's like opposites really do attract. Like, it's a hack saying, but there's something just, like, interesting about it. Like, you know, you're like, the sex is going to be, like, rough and dirty and good, and, like, there's some hate in it, but it's not, like, hate for their personality. It's hate for their beliefs. Like, it's hot. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't do it because it's fucking weird, but... It was a thing in a person's brain, so I see what you're saying is what I'm
That's
trying
why
to get
I get
at.
Sad with like that, like goth people kind of tend to only date each other because I don't like appear goth on the outside, but my soul is kind of goth, and I would just love to like even on my way here, I saw a guy with like completely like whited out, chalky face, like wet, dripping black hair, and he was eating sushi with his hands, and I was like, man, that guy will never give me the time of day.
I don't like good-looking guys. I like them to be really skinny and pale and look like they're dying.
I actually said that organically, like, and then I remembered I had that sound bite.
Damn, that's so funny.
Okay.
Listen, I do like the opposite thing. I love dating my incredibly, cutie-looking, not at all should be around me girlfriend.
Yeah, or just like someone who's like wears crisp white shirts and like businessy, dating like some like trashy comedian. Like, I love doing all these things. Mm-hmm, anyway, mm-hmm. Now we're just getting horny.
I've been horny.
Me too, boyfriend. Me too. Nobody wants to impregnate you. I haven't had sex since March. Nobody wants to. Are you okay? You look like that was a visceral response.
I'm worried
response.
About you. Yeah,
I'm worried about me too.
Your pussy's closed up.
I had to have a rejuvenation. You know,
tumbleweed cruising.
I didn't want to pay for a rejuvenation.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I just
yeah.
did one myself. Nobody wants to impregnate you if you look like a thumb. These people are odious on the inside and out. They're like 5'2", 350 pounds, and they're like, give me my abortion or I'll get up and march and protest. I'm thinking, March, you look like you got ankles weaker than the legal reasoning behind Roe v. Wade. A few of them need to get up and march. They need to get up and march for like an hour a day, swing those arms, get the blood pumping, maybe mix in a salad. Like, what?
He's really just trying to, the more angry he makes people, the cooler he looks to like people who don't, you know, they just suck the dick of any their thing isn't what you're doing, it's who you're against, you know.
Well, yeah, and I also like just everyone wants to be a stand-up comedian so badly, it's hilarious.
Yeah,
like they're like preparing bits, setting aside the fact that the crux of Gaetz's bit is basically reverse plagiarism of actually funny person George Carlin's famous line, which a lot of people pointed out. George Carlin says, why is it that most of the people who are against abortion are people you wouldn't want to fuck in the first place? It's quite stunning for a representative of the U.S. government to respond to the stripping of millions of people's rights with insults about people's looks. It's extra stunning given the elected official, number one, seemingly had so few prospects that he allegedly had to sleep with women who were either underage or being paid, and number two, that he is so stupid that he reportedly left a digital trail of such activity.
Can I say one thing?
Absolutely.
He is behaving like a stand-up comedian. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that. That does seem about right.
Ooh, it seems, yes, it absolutely does. So I guess his only choice now is to have a baby and only do social media posts with that cute little baby.
And he's never posted 9 reels that start with, what do you do for work? So maybe he is funnier than some people we know.
Oh God, I can't. I honestly was so depressed this week about the situation with reels on Instagram. It took me down. I had to take a nap. It was sad. Responding to Gaetz's remarks on Monday, Marjorie Dannenfelser, the head of Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, an anti-abortion group, tweeted, shame on Matt Gaetz for this hideous comment. As for comment, the congressman's spokesperson simply told Insider that Gaetz is proud to have an A-plus rating from the Susan B. Anthony list. I mean, the Zing Master over there. What a guy. I think this is just like, part of this is America's fault, and part of it is our fault for doing a show like this where we just cover the most interesting people. It's not like the people who are, offering the best legislation or the best viewpoints. Like, we do want a circus, whether it's a positive circus or a negative circus, because, again, AOC, positive, but she creates a hullabaloo around what she does, and it works.
Does she create a hullabaloo?
I think so. People are also obsessed with her on the right, but
I think 90% of what she does is like a non-issue, but people on the right are just like weirdly fixated.
Yes, she's also pretty.
There's
so
only one thing she's ever done that created a hullabaloo that I think was even warranted talking about, and that was her going to the Met Gala. Yeah. Oh, and I guess one time she didn't vote no or yes on a stimulus package to Israel, and a bunch of people were really disappointed she didn't vote no. So that was kind of a hullabaloo.
Well, I think it's more like just that she's young and she knows how to properly utilize social media to help her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is, I think we're going to be seeing more and more of that. So instead of the interns doing the tweeting for these older politicians, she gets ahead because she knows how to do it. I mean, I'm sure she has
help
as well.
She's on Instagram Live every day talking to people.
But exactly. And so like a hullabaloo, I don't necessarily think is a bad thing. I think it's like you need to know how to be a good publicist for yourself if you want to be a successful politician in America.
True.
That's part of it.
I would just like, I mean, it is obvious that they're fixated on her specifically because there's a group of representatives that the right calls the squad.
Sure.
And they pretty much universally all vote for and advocate for all the same policies and are in the same spaces constantly. But outside of Ilhan Omar, who we all know why they talk about her, the other two vote for all the same things AOC does, stand for all the same things, do all the same stuff, yet we never hear about them.
Yeah, because AOC's hot and they want
to. Exactly. That's my point. Yeah. Is that it's not, she's not actually a person who's doing anything.
But I mean, but yes, but also I think like, women know the power of their beauty. I think you would be dumb to not use it, especially when you're going to be objectified anyway.
Listen, I would do anything for her.
Yeah. Anytime I see like a hot woman, like sometimes people will play down their hotness to be taken more, seriously. But I think like use the beauty that you have, whether it's inside or outside. I'm all for it.
The way you said it, inside or outside, whatever.
No, I truly mean that. All right.
So yeah, be a whole person.
Yeah, absolutely. So Missouri women can't get divorced while pregnant. This was an interesting thing that happened this week from Salon. Supreme Court ruling sparks alarm over Missouri law banning pregnant women from getting divorced. All right. Under an old Missouri law from 1973, a woman cannot get a divorce finalized. And I think that's key, too. If she is pregnant, she can file for divorce, but it won't be finalized as long as she is pregnant. In 2022, abortion rights defenders are worried about the law's ramifications now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court after 49 years. Journalist Anna Sporeri, in an article published by the Kansas City Star on July 20th, explains in Missouri, divorce cases cannot be finalized if a woman is pregnant since the custody agreement must first be in place, multiple attorneys told the Star. The custody agreement cannot be completed until the child is born. Before the high court struck down Roe v. Wade with its 6-3 ruling in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, a divorce in Missouri could be finalized after a woman had an abortion. The Roe decision, handed down by the Berger Court in 1973, established abortion as a national right. But with Roe overturned, abortion is no longer a national right, leaving the legality of abortion to be determined on a state-by-state basis. Republican-controlled Missouri is an anti-choice state. The state law, while old, gained renewed attention after the Supreme Court on June 24th overturned Roe v. Wade, repealing the constitutional right to abortion. Spory reports. The decision immediately made abortion illegal in Missouri. While many call the restriction outdated, none of those interviewed, including advocates, survivors, and attorneys, know of any efforts to change the law. Jess Piper, a Democrat who is running for a seat in the Missouri House of Representatives, has been speaking out about the Missouri law and warning that post-Roe, it could encourage women to stay in abusive relationships. And I don't know if we covered it on this show, but just a reminder that the chances of being murdered go up exponentially when a woman is pregnant. Like, just look up the statistics. Like, that's it's just skyrocketing. On May 12th on Twitter, Piper posted, fact, you can't get a divorce finalized if pregnant in Missouri. Forced pregnancies can prolong abusive situations. And the following day on May 13th, Piper tweeted, if you do get pregnant during a divorce, the husband is the presumed father, which creates all kinds of issues. Women are often treated as property and patronized in my state and everywhere. Spory reports that many people didn't know about Missouri's law until they read Piper's tweets. Many people replied with disbelief. Others said they knew from personal experience. She did too. At 34, Piper divorced her husband. It was not an abusive relationship. Her attorney at the time warned her not to get pregnant. According to Spory, 8 questions are asked of everyone filing for divorce in Missouri. One of them is whether the wife is pregnant, Spory explains. If the answer is yes, the divorce proceedings can continue if the attorney chooses, but cannot be finalized until the woman is no longer pregnant. That is because according to Missouri's statute, the court must first establish paternity of a child before a divorce can be finalized, said Shannon Gordon, a family law attorney practicing in the Kansas City metro. Spory adds, due to a statutory presumption that a baby born during a marriage is the child of the husband, a DNA test is often completed after the child is born in order to establish paternity in court. Then divorce proceedings can continue. The reason for all this ultimately is child support considerations, Gordon said. According to Gordon, the Missouri law makes no exception for survivors of domestic violence. We oftentimes see an abused spouse not have the financial means to establish a home, Gordon told the Star. Being legally entitled to things like money and actually having the money are two very different things, particularly when a case is ongoing. So that's something that, like, it was kind of like floating around. And obviously when you first read it, you're like, what the fuck? And then you get into the article and you're like, okay, this like kind of makes sense, but it still puts people in a very dangerous situation.
It's also just do the paternity for the child support after. Let them get divorced and just require the paternity test.
Right. Well, I guess, is it some, it's like, it's more like protection so that a husband who wasn't the actual, wasn't the biological father of a baby doesn't start paying child support for a kid who is not his. But it seems like you could just take legal action after and he could like sue to get the money back if the paternity test comes up as not his.
Yeah, you could just owe it back or whatever.
Right.
I don't know.
Exactly, because it's a huge danger to people.
You could just do what all the other 50 states do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, like, listen, I like to look into stuff like this because, again, like, you know, everyone loves sounding the alarm. And then you go, OK, well, let me read this and see, like, how imminent the danger is.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Huh. Damn.
All right. Next one is you.
Oh, OK. So we had a girl boss alert. We finally had a lady shooter. But guess what, everyone? She was not good at it.
I know. I was like psychotically like scrolling through this and being like, did she not kill anyone?
Yeah, I'm actually really thankful no one was hurt because I heard there was a shooting in an airport and I was like, oh my God, that's going to be the worst. You know, like it's going to be like some horrific thing. But luckily for everyone involved, the Dallas airport accused shooter has a lengthy criminal record, claimed to be Chris Brown's wife. And God's prophet. You know where she should take that gun?
In her own mouth?
Her husband's house.
Oh. But it's not really. They're not really married, but I would love.
If you heard that, imagine air quotes around husband.
Yeah.
The accused female shooter at Dallas Love Field Airport has a lengthy criminal record. She previously told police she was God's prophet and was married to R&B singer, songwriter Chris Brown. Over the past several years, 37-year-old Portia Adufua.
You said it's Portia.
Portia.
Never heard of that name?
I've heard that name, but it's not spelled.
Well, it's not spelled like the car.
Yeah.
Doesn't like Portia de Rossi spell it like that? Kind of a white trashy name.
Sure, it is. I mean, listen.
Yeah, Portia de Rossi.
It's whatever. Yeah. So anyway, sorry, I got tripped up because.
Were you thinking about some girl you fucked named Portia?
No,
you went down memory lane.
I'm dating someone named after a car.
I know.
So it's like, it's a whole thing. So I was like, don't say anything negative right now, Shane. Be cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, she had previously faced charges including arson, robbery, criminal trespass, and false reporting in cities across North Texas. But in many of those incidents, judges deemed her incompetent to stand trial. She was referred to either or both inpatient or outpatient mental health services in cases were dismissed, the Dallas Morning News has reported. And as recently as last summer, a Dallas County judge ruled she was not a danger to others. Before she allegedly changed clothes in the airport bathroom, pulled out a gun near a ticketing counter and opened fire into the ceiling. Listen, and who of us hasn't wanted to do that at the ticketing counter?
That sounds really fun, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Monday court records show she had allegedly pulled a gun on a hotel front desk clerk in April at the time when she was homeless. The woman provided the address of rapper Chris Brown's mansion to police after the incident, but Dallas County Judge Kristen Wade dismissed the false report case by November, even though Odafuwa did not successfully complete the program. When deemed incompetent to stand trial, according to the county court records reviewed by the newspaper, she was supposed to continue mental health services elsewhere. Anyway, she was arrested a whole bunch for a lot of different things. She's not doing well. She didn't do a mass shooting. She went to the airport and was like, you know what? I think I'm going to do this in a different outfit. Changed her clothes. And then went to the ticketing counter and probably got into a little altercation. And then she took a gun out and shot it into the ceiling. And then an officer shot her, quote, in the lower extremities.
Oh, a little so pussy
they,
shot.
Yeah, I think they shot her pussy off.
That's hot.
So I hope she gets the help she needs. Yeah, so if anyone heard this and was like, why aren't we hearing more about this? It's because it wasn't actually that dangerous. The only person who was hurt was her, and she's in stable condition, and I truly hope she gets the help she needs. Also, though, that is what it looks like when an actually mentally ill person does something like this.
Yeah, they don't have good aim.
I think we have a problem with mental health in the country, and that contributes to shootings, but not in the way that people are like, yeah, he's mentally insane or whatever. No, I think most shooters are just radicalized, real regular people. It's not like a mental health.
Yeah. Well, and there's different levels of like mental health. There's like, are you agitated? Are you frustrated? Do you feel like you're not getting your fair share? Or is there a chemical imbalance in your brain? Those are two separate things.
Exactly. I feel like it's a mental health crisis, not a mental illness crisis. So yeah. Anyway...
Well, and also, but then when you think about it, like there is that large portion of the airport that you can access without going through security or a metal detector.
Oh yeah, the first part.
I just like never even thought of that before, but you're like, yeah, that's like a lot of people in a lot of space that it's completely unprotected. I usually like go through that really quick because I'm never getting like tickets at the booth or checking in on the kiosk, yeah. But
I don't worry about it because the rest of the world is also unprotected, so I'm like,
oh,
whatever.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, you could get shot down everywhere. That's what's happening in America right now. It's fun, but
yeah, it's a free for all out here. PvP is activated all across the United States.
Oh. Oh my God. Jesus.
Okay. This Rolling Stone. Let's do this one.
Yeah.
So this is interesting, especially because you constantly hear liberal media, blah blah blah. We're censored and whatever. And I'm constantly being like, I think both sides are pretty equally censored, and the politics are just like that. And you know, people don't want to hear it either way. But here's an article about Hulu refusing to run Democrat midterm ads about abortion rights and gun control. And they didn't put it in here, but climate change is also a thing Disney wouldn't run ads about.
Oh, interesting.
So Hulu, which is owned by Disney, is refusing to run. This is a Rolling Stone article, by the way. is refusing to run Democratic political ads that highlight key issues like reproductive rights and gun control, according to the Washington Post. Within the 2022 midterms on the, or with the 2022 midterms on the horizon, three major Democratic campaign committees focused on the Senate, the House of Representatives, and the gubernatorial races tried to purchase joint ads on abortion and gun control with Hulu earlier this month. The same ads were successfully placed on an ABC affiliate in Philadelphia. Disney also owns ABC and ESPN, another Disney property. And according to The Verge, the spots ran on other digital platforms like Facebook, YouTube, and Roku, but the ads never ran on Hulu. Hulu's censorship of the truth is outrageous, offensive, and another step down a dangerous path for our country, said the committee's executive directors, Christy Roberts, Tim Persico, I don't know, some Italian shit, and Noam Lee in a joint statement. I love just being mean to Italian people. Voters have the right to know that facts about MAGA Republicans' agenda on issues like abortion, and Hulu is doing a huge disservice to the American people by blocking voters from learning the truth about the GOP record or denying these issues from even being discussed. Hulu did not immediately return Rolling Stone's request for comment. Hulu reportedly has a policy of prohibiting ads that feature content considered controversial. And like all digital providers, it has more leeway in choosing which political ads it does and does not run, as it is not beholden to the Communications Act of 1934, which requires broadcast TV networks to give equal time to politicians. Oh, wow. It kind of seems like we should update that act from 1934. Anyway,
but so you think that we should update it so that networks can choose for themselves?
No.
What would your
networks can currently choose for themselves?
No. But I'm saying like, okay, no. Like the Communications Act of 1934. So that's saying equal time. Do you think that they shouldn't have to require equal time?
They should have to. So yeah. In this current time, that means Hulu could just run the. Let's just in a hypothetic world say Hulu was like, no, we do. Let's run all the ads about abortion. They'd have to run all the Democratic ads.
Right.
Hulu reaches millions upon millions of people, more than a lot of other things, even Netflix, because Netflix doesn't have ads. And then when the Republicans or another, political party's like, okay, well, we would also like to reach these people to make our argument. And then Hulu's like, well, fuck off. And that's, you have a monopoly on the language there. So
right. Well, because, I mean, it seems like that just has to be updated for, like, the streaming world that we live in.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So at least one other Democrat running this fall had similar ad rejection experiences with Hulu at the end of June. Suraj Patel, who was running for Congress in New York City, sent a letter to Disney CEO Bob Chapek and Hulu President Joe Early after an ad of his that touched on abortion, guns, climate change, and the January 6th insurrection was rejected. Man, I want to see that ad. That's a lot of shit going on.
Oh, my God. Yeah, if it's online, we have to find it.
Patel claimed a Hulu representative told him there was an unwritten Hulu policy that deemed mentioning these topics too sensitive. While an altered version of Patel's ad that replaced footage of the January 6th riot did run on Hulu after the Post story ran yesterday, July 25th, Hulu told his campaign the original ad would be accepted. A source claimed that the decision about the original Patel ad had been made prior to Monday. The controversy over the Dem ads comes as Hulu's parent company Disney has been hammered with attacks from both sides of the political spectrum. First, the company was criticized both internally and externally for taking its time to speak out against Florida's controversial Don't Say Gay law. After it did finally come out against the legislation, the company quickly became a major right-wing punching bag, and Governor Ron DeSantis, who Nazis love, even signed a bill that would strip the company of its special tax status in the state. That's so funny.
So petty.
Also, Disney doesn't get credit for that. They were pressured by their employees, who were obviously the gayest people on earth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Disney's so... Everyone who works there and loves it is so gay.
Yeah, it's LGBTQD+.
They were like...
For Disney employees.
Disney literally was like, okay, well, we'll literally have no workers in the park if we don't stand up against this thing.
Listen,
like,
if you hate gay people, go work at Sesame Place. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
If you're racist, if you hate gay gay people, if you hate women, Sesame Place is the place for you.
What is that? You didn't see
the whole controversy. There's a character, like a blue monster character. I don't know the name of it. Maybe like Zoe or something. It was a Sesame character that came on after I was done watching
Rosita.
Okay, because I was like, that's Rosie. Oh, that's even funnier, right? Okay, because so Rosita is a newer character from Sesame Place, like long after we were kids, and there's footage of her at Sesame Place, which yes is like an amusement park, and she's shaking everyone's hands except for black children, and it became a huge controversy. And at first you like watch it and you go, okay, like this could be an oversight, but then you like you see it happening again and again, you're like, oh my god, this is like fucking targeted racist.
What if Rosita is just afraid she's gonna go to shake their hand, but then they're gonna do some weird stuff like go to dab her up and she's gonna be embarrassed?
Yeah, because she's Rosita and she should know that.
I don't know. I'm just fucking around.
Did you see Sesame Street when Rosita was on? Because like, wasn't the point of the character to bring more diversity?
Yeah.
So it's extra ironic that the purpose was to bring more diversity to the show. I mean, even she is.
Can I see a picture of Rosita?
She's a blue monster.
She's not that new because she was when I was a kid, which was probably like 15,
you can't be surprised when a monster.
You're still
racist.
Like over 10 sure. years younger than me.
Can I see Rosita, please? Oh shit, dude! I don't trust this bitch. Look at her.
Yeah.
Someone suggested on another show that I do that it's possible that it's hard for them to see kids that are directly under them.
Yeah,
so they like go for the kids that they can see from further away, and if someone sneaks under them. They might not see them. But
yeah, possibly. I mean, listen, it's hell in those suits. It's a hell in those suits, but it was. Yeah, those are the two girls that in the famous video that was circulating that are overlooked.
They're so cute, too.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking to watch.
Fuck, man. All right. Yeah, I don't like watching anyone get snubbed.
But I
when
do.
When you go to shake someone's hand and they do, or you go to high five someone, I can't tell you how many skate videos have one thing where someone does something really incredible and everyone's going crazy, and their one friend goes to high five them and they don't, and everyone's going nuts, and they're just standing there like, fuck me, I guess, and I'm on video.
It is, it is very embarrassing to go out for a high five and not receive it back. But I don't know, you know.
What's worse, going for a high five and not receiving it, or waving to someone who waved at you but they weren't waving at you?
Probably the high five is worse. The wave I would just play off like I was waving to somebody else.
Yeah, sometimes you're with someone and they see you and they're like, who are you waving at? And you go, listen, man, we got to move on from this immediately.
I mean, that's never happened to me because I'm not friendly, but. Mm.
Oh, that's a really good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
So I've never like waved to someone who didn't wave back.
I live in a personal hell of my own creation where I never know if someone is recognizing me from comedy or if they actually know me or what. And I do the same thing.
I've literally just asked people to their face. I go, I'm sorry, are we friends in real life or do you listen to my podcast? Every time it was podcast and I felt so fine about that, but I was just like, because they were talking, you know, like when they talk to you on like a familiar level and you're like, fuck, you're talking to me like you're like a friend, but your face is not jogging my memory at all.
I just let it ride.
Oh, I just asked them because I want to know like what level of conversation, like what am I telling them? Am I updating them that my like dad died or am I just saying thanks for listening?
I think you should just open with that. Every conversation.
How much am I telling you?
They like come up and they're like, Corinne Fisher. And you go, oh, hey, my dad's dead. What else is going on
anything
in this
else
conversation?
New? Well, because it feels like a huge thing that you should update people on if you haven't seen them. But then also, I don't want to just like tell strangers that.
I would open up with, hey, how are you? How's your father? And then they would go, he's in Connecticut. And you go, well, mine's super dead.
And then they
will just be like, I'm out of this conversation.
Fuck. Damn.
That's what I should do when people like they talk to me. I go, hey, tell me about your sum up your childhood in three words real quick, and then I'll do mine.
What would I say,
unwanted teeth removal would be how I would describe my childhood.
That one, yeah. And then there was, I mean, wasn't there something about like broken fingers and toes? I'm trying to think of things that you told me. And then, lost in the wood with the dog.
That one. That's do you think about that one all the time only because a dog was involved?
No, I get said for you too.
Yeah, you remember the dog.
That's a Shane Smith classic story. You're like, it's like Grimm's fairy tales. You could write a whole book of bedtime stories.
I really am.
Yeah. No, I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think about your life a lot.
Thank you.
I do. Know.
I was writing a book and I of just like piecemeal stories.
This is an actual book. Not a
book. No, I'm writing a real book.
Got it.
And it's like about little piecemeal story because I can't write people are like, you should write like a whole thing, but I can't yet. I have to wait for certain people to die. But
right,
I wrote like a thing with these piecemeal stories. And as I started writing them, I was like, I got to get some happy ones in here. It was just writing like the most horrific shit. Like I told some of my roommates, one of them, and they're like, yo man, never tell me anything like that ever a fucking again. Like it was that bad. I was like, my bad, everybody. You're right.
I think it'll bring solace to some people who also had a childhood and then traumatize those of us who had a nice one.
I think it's going to be like if Chicken Soup for the Soul and A Child Called It was funny.
Oh, okay. I never read A Child Called It. I've read Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul, though.
Oh, the Teenage Soul.
Or whatever. I mean,
they have so many. They have like...
Someone gave it to me. Okay, so that's actually a funny story from my child. Someone gave me that, and I was like so fucking personally offended that they thought I was the type of person who would want to read that book, and I returned it to Barnes & Noble immediately. But I think one copy I had to keep because like they wrote an inscription in the front of it.
Really?
And I was just like, what kind of a broken piece of shit do you think I am?
I had to read like 5 of them.
Why?
I used to do this thing at my library at my school where you would read the book and then take a test on the book to prove you read it, and I wanted to read every book in the library and pass all the tests. It was like my, and so I had to read 5 Chicken Soup for the Soul books.
Every book in the library? How many? That must have been thousands of books, Shane.
Yeah.
Over the course of how long?
I think basically until I was 15 and I stopped having access to the school, because even after I was like not going to school, I would just go get books from the
stopped
library.
Stopped having access to the school? You were expelled? Yeah.
No. I just like was up to others. I was like too old and up to other stuff.
Oh.
But I mean, I should have still been in school, but I was like dropped out. And then I went to alternative high school to finish my GED, which I didn't even end up getting. Because I like wrote a letter. I was like, I can get my GED or I can just do it different. And I wrote a letter to my congressman and asked them to like give me a forgiveness to school so I could join the army.
Nice.
Yeah. I was a little stinker. I was really making moves. But anyway, I read all the books in the library. I did. I was the only person who's ever done it, and I'm still the only person who's ever done it. I had someone check recently.
Yeah, who the hell else would try to do that?
There were some serious books in there, too, for like a kid to read. I read Moby Dick, Unabridged, and War and Peace.
Did it have Mein Kampf?
Bad. No. There's no Mein Kampf. Because
not my school library, but my public library had Mein Kampf, and I took it out. My mom told me I was on a list now.
Yeah, the public library has all those, but the school library, and especially I can't remember what the book program was called. It was called like Reader's Adventure or some shit, but someone had to like make a little quiz about the book.
Oh, okay.
And nowadays I realize I could have cheated, but I refused to cheat on this. I was so interested in like accomplishing it.
That's one of the most impressive things I've ever heard.
Yeah, it started because I read every single Animorphs book and Goosebumps.
Who thought that would inspire reading? I've read a lot of Goosebumps. Never was I like, this gives me the itch to read.
Also, it was because I read Harry Potter wasn't in those. And I remember reading the 4th Harry Potter book. And I was like, I think I'm too old for this. Book fucking sucked. And then right after the 4th Harry Potter book, the first book I read was A Song of Ice and Fire, which is the first Game of Thrones book. Mm-hmm. And in like the first 15 pages, a guy's like fingering a hot girl and murders a child. And I was like, now we're in fucking business. I'm like 12 years old. Like, here we go. This is what reading is, baby. It was really funny.
Amazing.
I don't know why, but that makes me. So now I think of Harry Potter every time I think of like, you know, well done fiction, but not because it's good, because it's so fucking bad.
So you hate Harry Potter. This is something I'm learning about you today.
I've always hated Harry Potter.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that
people think I like it because it's in my jokes.
Well, and it also seems like it's in the like universe of things that you like.
Yeah, yeah.
So like Lord of the Rings to me, a lot of people who like Lord of the Rings also like Harry Potter.
I think Harry Potter's bad.
Do you like the movies?
No.
Okay, I've never seen. I have no interest.
Harry
in that,
Potter's
so.
Not well written. It's a weird. I think it's cool if you like it, like as a storytelling thing for children, like small children. But then she tried to like grow it up, and it's just so bad. She like justifies slavery in the book. Harry's a cop. He doesn't help all the poor people, even though he has all the money.
Well, just
the
because you don't like what happens doesn't mean that it's not like.
Well, but it's
written.
Like a bad world. There's like no right. one to root for. Who are you going to root for? Harry Potter, the police chief slave owner.
So it's like the show Come Girls on HBO.
Yeah, yeah. It's like
can't root for anyone.
Literally everyone in there is bad.
Yeah.
And then like at one point, there's like the Dursleys, the family that has Harry. You know, they're kind of evil to him in the first book. But later in the series, they're just like torturing this family for no reason. Hagrid, who's supposed to be like the best character, is like a violent bad guy. Mm-hmm. Like a child. In the first beginning of the book, he makes one of the kid of the family that had the Dursleys or whatever. He forces him to grow a tail with magic. He physically assaults a child who has to have surgery later to remove a tail. It's like, yeah, that's a bad guy. An adult attacked a child. It's like, this book series fucking sucks. Everyone's evil. Also, the Holocaust happened and the wizards did nothing to stop it. And J.K. Rowling, a stupid bitch. So there's all these things.
Wow. I mean, you just really covered so much area. Right
yeah,
there.
I really did. Sorry for everyone. I know so many people like Harry Potter, and I think it's okay if you do. I don't think you're bad for liking it. I don't like it.
Well, also, first I would say if you like Harry Potter, it does, I mean, you should also, like, if you like something, Shane Smith's opinion shouldn't matter, or anyone's.
So many
for
people
that matter.
Get annoyed, though. They want you to like what they like. I will say, first three books, bangers. Really fun books that are just, like, silly and not trying to be like a whole world where everything makes sense. As soon as she started trying to like,
well, did so okay. So, but did those books where, you know, she changed the world, did they come out after Harry Potter had already become famous?
I think it was really popular. It got like insane popular as she was writing the fourth book.
Right. Because I was like, that kind of makes sense if the first three were good, because when things become popular, like there's just like too many cooks in the kitchen, too many suggestions, too much feedback.
She tried to grow the series up and do like a real, like, I'm a real fantasy writer. And it's like, no, you're not. You write bedtime stories for children. Just keep doing that. They're very good. But then she was like, no, I'm a real fantasy writer, and it's fucking garbage.
Well, she's more famous and rich than we'll ever be. So.
Yeah, she is. Oh, well. But she's also dumber than either of us will ever be. So
I don't know about that, but
I'm pretty sure she
I
don't is.
I think she's actually stupid.
I think she's stupid.
All right. Biden gas prices? Is that
oh, yeah,
the next
yeah.
one?
So this is the Fox News article. Follow up with my hair. Evil Harry Potter rants with gas. So Biden thrashed for a tweet. So Fox News is Biden thrashed for tweet bragging about gas price savings with average pess on typo. Quote, tells you a lot. It is very funny that Fox News would be like, huh, Joe Biden did a typo. And it's like, do you not remember Covfefe?
Yeah. I mean, it's also just like, I mean, we've
Come
all
on,
had a
man. Who gives a fuck?
This is the kind of stuff that I just think is so nonsensical. And we waste so much of our time on like making fun of someone for making a typo as if he made a typo because he was elderly. Like, I make a typo all the time. All the time. I'm always making typos.
He didn't write the tweet, you guys.
Yeah.
You know he didn't. That was one of Trump's things. He writes his own tweets. We be knowing that.
Well, and
like,
also,
that's
like,
obvious.
This is some kind of an intern made a typo, and now the intern's probably fired.
Oh, I feel so bad for them.
Yeah.
Anyway, President Biden continued to brag about gas prices falling by a small amount on Twitter Monday morning to the mockery of users. I do think the tweet is stupid, but I don't think he's bragging.
Well, that's what I thought. I read the tweet, and I go, I don't see how he's like, I don't see how he's personally taking credit or how this can be interpreted as him personally taking credit. It seems like he's just trying to like say something positive to keep the morale of the country up.
Yeah. It's a shit tweet to be sure, but it's like, what? I don't think it, like, he's not like doing a fucking, he's not flexing online. Anyway, for American families looking for a little more breathing room, these savings matter, Biden's presidential account tweeted. The tweet also included a graphic informing followers that at current prices, the average driver will spend $35 less per month for one person or $70 less per month for a family with two cars than they would if gas prices stayed at their peak. Wow. I almost really grossly burped into the microphone.
I'm confused why they had to do this graphic, because I think they're assuming, and listen, I can't talk because we all know I'm bad at math, but they're assuming that the average person couldn't have added 35 plus 35 together because that's just 70.
Yeah.
So like they're like, this is $35 for one car or $70 for two cars. But
but there was three cars?
But I also
would it be 95?
I also just don't know why they're doing this.
Did I do the math? Damn it.
No, it's 100. It's 105, right?
It's 105. See Alex's face? He was so disappointed, just so like.
Yeah, I was like, no, it's 105.
No, even, it's not.
Even my dumb ass knows it's 105.
All right.
Well, the thing is, when everyone was like attacking me for my bad math, I go, I take full responsibility for that. I am painfully bad at math. That being said, there were three other adults who heard me say that, and not one person stepped in.
I'm so bad at math that I deferred to you immediately and allowed you to say it. And then
I was excited because I thought it was something I knew how to do the fucking math for, because I do percentages a lot at my store, but not 0.02%. And if I'm doing 0.02% at my store, things have gone downhill.
Yeah, you're doing bad.
So I hope that I'm never doing it.
So social media users once again attacked Biden for attempting to take credit for lower gas prices while many still face near record levels. Washington Examiner and Daily... Also, he didn't take credit for... I don't know. They're really grasping at straws here.
Absolutely. We're getting into that time period, yeah. You know, as we approach the next presidential election, where they're just going to be nitpicking.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, everyone knows I'm no fan of Biden, but even I'm like, what are you saying?
Leave this guy alone.
It's just like silly. It's like, I guess you got to make articles. Washington Examiner and Daily Signal contributor Nicole Russell tweeted, "But I thought you had nothing to do with gas prices?" ? 396 likes. Good for you, Nicole. Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy wrote, "In other words, Americans are paying over $100 more a month per person, that's very funny, to fill their gas tanks than when Biden took office." Washington Examiner reporter Andrew Kerr noted, "The figures in Biden's tweet this morning assume the average person is consuming 50 gallons of gas a month per vehicle. Two cars equals 100 gallons of gas equals $70 in savings a month for the average American family, according to Biden's methodology. Now do prices compared to a year ago," snake oil salesman, Lone Conservative founder Casey Dillon tweeted. Cassie Dillon? Yeah. "Now do prices compared to a year ago," snake oil salesman. Here's my thing is like, what do you think was going on a year ago that prices were different? Anyway, we'll get into it. Oh, wait, here's the sticker everyone puts up on the gas pumps that say, "I did that," and it points to the gas. And it's Biden. Biden had previously suggested that rising gas prices and inflation rates were caused by the Putin price hike due to the war in Ukraine. Since prices have fallen after their peak in June, while the war rages on, the administration has started taking credit for the average price for a gallon of gas falling below $5. However, most states continue to pay more than $4 a gallon for gas, with the average price of Monday at $4.36. When Biden took office January 20th, 2021, the average cost was $2.39 a gallon. Many users also called out the blatant typo in the graphic using "pessin" instead of "person" in an official government tweet. "For one pessin, that's great. I hate paying too much for a pessin. Pessin inflation is a bane on the nation's economy." Washington Times reporter Mike Glenn tweeted, "Wow, Mike, cool profile photo." Man, it sucks so fucking bad. Oh, damn, dude.
Oh, God. I was getting distracted looking at Cassie Dillon's Twitter account.
Oh, what was that like?
I mean, her first article, I was trying to tell her stance. I mean, I think it's pro Shapiro, but her pinned tweet is a article that she wrote about Ben Shapiro and Israel. So,
oh,
I don't.
It's yeah, okay.
She has actually she has a lot of articles about Ben Shapiro. What is she, like, Ben Shapiro's lackey? Does she work for him? What the fuck is happening here?
That's weird.
Who likes Ben Shapiro this much?
A lot of people. Weirdly enough,
she's written for like The Hill, which is, I mean, she's conservative, but like, it's, that's like the least crazy of the conservative things. Okay. Or one of the least crazy.
Town Hall editor Rebecca Downs wrote, "Who spell check this? What is a pessin?" Anyway, listen, lots of conservatives are very excited to do this, but I was just like, do you not remember when your guy was doing this on the regular? I don't understand. It's just like such a silly non thing, but it's also like as soon as the shoe's on the other foot, they're like, that never happened, you know? So just so everyone knows, the cost of gas is not affected by the president of the United States. There's a certain something called OPEC, and it's now called OPEC Plus because it's the largest oil-producing countries in the world formed a cartel. Now, if you're wondering what a cartel is, it's not the thing in every fucking TV show with a bunch of guys that cut off your head, though they are cartels, but a cartel is an actual thing. It's like a group of companies that have made an agreement together to control prices democratically as a group. So technically, it is a monopoly shared between many people. So
we love it.
We don't love it. It's very bad. Anyway, so OPEC is like Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, Iraq, Kuwait, these people. And then now they've created OPEC Plus, which includes, you fucking guessed it, Russia. Anyway, we import like 3 million something barrels of oil a day into the United States from overseas. So when their oil goes up, when there is no, when there's less demand and more supply or whatever, right? I fucking said that backwards, probably. It doesn't matter.
I think everyone understands supply and demand.
Yeah, supply and demand, whatever. My brain is on fire. So that's how it's the price of oil just dictates the price of gasoline. That's just the end of it. It's like 50% of the price of gasoline. It's not. And also,
yeah, Biden doesn't have like a button under his desk in the Oval Office. Like, I think gas is going to be $3.85 a gallon today.
And a lot of people are like, well, we tax the oil. We won't let them drill. Firstly, they have 900 approved government oil drilling contracts. So they could begin to drill right now. The oil companies don't, because it is in their best interest to jack the price of oil up and make the most money humanly possible for their shareholders. The president can't make them put more oil into the market. That's not how it fucking works. So if you're like, oh, he won't let us drill. Well, he did. Just Google it. 900 fucking drilling contracts that they're not drilling on. Well, he taxes them. We haven't raised the federal tax on oil or gasoline, I mean, since 1993. Since 1993. What happened in 1993? I don't know. It was a long fucking time ago. A lot of people listening weren't even born yet. But it's crazy. So, I mean, in Europe, the oil or the gasoline tax is like $2. By the way, the gasoline tax exists so that we can tax gasoline and then use it to fix our roads and bridges. So if you are wondering, why is every road I drive down the United States in a giant piece of shit? And why are my bridges falling apart? It's because we don't tax oil companies. In any case...
You can read more about this if you want to. You can look up fuel taxes in the United States on Wikipedia. They have a whole article about it that breaks it down for you.
You can also just look at you can Google gas price compared to cost of oil or barrel of oil, and you can watch them intercede each other. Okay, gas prices go up. The invasion of Iraq. Do you remember this? You know, whatever. Anyway. The president doesn't have anything to do with it. It's fucking OPEC Plus. It's supply and demand. It's the cost of oil per barrel. And it's the idea that we're, Russia imports a huge amount of oil to the world. And we're having a whole thing right now. So, anyway, the president doesn't have anything to do with it. Trump didn't have anything to do with lower high gas prices. Biden has nothing to do with lower high gas prices. We live in a dystopian future where corporations are more important than governmental bodies. So stew in that a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, because it's also like there's checks and balances for a reason. Like, if you actually look, like, I'm like on the powers of the president of the United States Wikipedia page right now, which is something that they kind of like teach you in Schoolhouse Rock songs. But the president by himself doesn't have a ton of power without getting yeses from other areas of politicians, like other groups of politicians. Basically, there's like very few things that he can just do himself, which is important so you don't have a dictatorship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why these rules are in place.
You need checks and balances. So that's why something like the Supreme Court is so bad, because they are checked and balanced by no one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
because I'm like, besides being commander in chief of the army, like, that's like their only real, like, kind of power, like solo power that the president has.
They have,
right?
Solo power that's pretty insane with forgiving.
Oh, right.
Crime.
Yes.
That one is,
yes,
so
pardons.
Much. The pardon is so much wildly more powerful than you realize.
That's interesting, because that's why people will go through at the end of their presidency and they'll have like a list of people that they'll just fucking pardon.
Yeah, yeah. And then also you can have people commit crimes on your behalf, promising to pardon them later.
Well, that something... happened during Watergate, and then they didn't pardon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Trump did it a ton, though.
Yeah, but he ended up, he kept his promise and pardoned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He pardoned a ton of people who were like, did some crazy crimes.
Right. That feels like something that we need to look into.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you ever want to just kind of be like, what the fuck? Look up any president, no matter if you like him or not. This is a Democrat and Republican bad thing. Look up their pardon lists and see who they pardon and why, and who they don't pardon.
Yeah,
it's fucking crazy. I mean, the fact that, like,
it makes me really sad when it's so easy for a president to pardon people, and there's all these people who have, you know, huge groups, and there's messed up evidence, and like they've, you know, been appealing to the courts for years, and you just go, I mean, there is not enough evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that this person committed this crime, and they're going to death row. Like, why are we not looking at these lives and pardoning them?
Yeah. Or just, know? Edward Snowden being like, oh, the government broke the law and spied on us. Literally the most evil thing ever. Everyone just like, firstly, we don't care. We're going to let that go and stop worrying about it. And secondly, yeah, man, you have to live in Russia forever now. Russia is the one who's like, yeah, I guess we'll protect real free speech. That's fucked up.
Yeah,
that shouldn't happen.
No,
Russia's an old not good. I mean, well, Russia's just the same as us. It's just an oligarchy over there, same as it is here, but still, it's not great.
What are your thoughts on childcare?
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe we should zoom past this.
Well, basically, you just summarize it in like a sentence.
I'll summarize it in a sentence. Yeah, so military families are having trouble getting childcare, which is crazy because the military really prides itself on having resources for military families. Often, when something is going wrong in the military sphere, either with their with VA hospitals or with childcare or resources for military families, it is a dooming portent. It's doom for everyone else. It's the canary in the coal mine. So anyway, childcare is hard to get right now. So hard. It's going to get worse. We refuse to pay childcare workers or respect them. That's it. That's the end. It's like, hey, maybe they should unionize or something, but they get paid like $13 an hour. Their job is wildly difficult.
And also important. Like, wouldn't you want to pay the people taking care of your kids the most money of anyone?
Well, a lot of people can't afford it, but it's not really their choice to pay them. It's right. The companies, yeah, that contract them. They pay them so little, and it's just like, well, I guess, I don't know. And so it's kind of a standoff because, you know, it's capitalism at work. Really, the government should, you know, school lunch should be free. Children should be taken care of. I don't know. These things are common sense to me, but apparently not.
No.
So that's fun.
My school had like free before and after care.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah, I mean, like, not, I'm not talking like babies, but I'm like, you can go and like you were supervised by other adults and like you could hang out, like, I think from grammar school. So
nice.
Like, preschool, kindergarten, like you, yeah, pretty, yeah, young, not like little babies, though.
For all the bad things I could say about growing up in a small town, one of the great things is that there's not a lot of infrastructure. Like, we just had dirt roads. We didn't really have stop signs or stop lights.
Oh, I saw.
Yeah, there's nothing to spend money on. So the school was very well taken care of. And maybe our books and shit could have been better. They spent a lot of money on sports. But there was so much, like, we're doing sleep-ins. There's always stuff for students to do after school. There's, like, you know, they really invested in keeping students, like, busy all the time.
Oh, that's nice.
And so, I mean, I look back, and I didn't really do any of that, obviously. But I'm like, yeah, that was good.
Well, you were keeping yourself busy.
I was keeping myself busy, just trying out meth at 13.
Jesus Christ, Shane. I didn't know that one. Okay.
What? Yeah, of course. Look at me.
Sorry, I was trying not to stereotype you. Well, speaking of keeping Shane busy.
Don't worry. I decided huffing gas was more my thing when I was a child.
God. this is one of the main stories. This is from CNN. Democratic lawmakers, including AOC. How do you say these names? How do you say that?
I don't know.
Fuck.
Tlaib?
We got to look this up. This is important. I mean, it's not important to know, I guess, how to say it because I'm not giving any speeches, but I feel like I should look it up.
I know.
Oh, God.
I feel like it's like fair to not know, though. Like, if they were here, they would be like, yeah, I get it.
Pronunciate. They're, okay, it's Rashida, but it's Tlaib. Because I was like, I know it's easy to say, and I couldn't remember. I just had to write.
If they had put an apostrophe there, I would have got it immediately.
Yeah, I was like, okay, it's Rashida Tlaib. Okay, so Ocasio-Cortez, Tlaib, Spire, and more arrested in abortion rights protests in front of the Supreme Court. Probably all saw this, especially if you're following AOC on social media. Please stay away from me. More than a dozen Democratic members of Congress were among those arrested by Capitol Police on Tuesday afternoon as part of an abortion rights protest in front of the Supreme Court. Wearing specially made green bandanas with "Won't Back Down," they marched from the Capitol to the court, which has been fenced off for weeks since shortly after the leak of the draft decision overturning Roe v. Wade. Hilarious. Within 2 minutes of their arriving, police began ordering them to cease and desist. Instead, they sat on the street and were one by one led off by officers as they chanted, "The people united will never be divided." The U.S. Capitol Police tweeted, "Demonstrators are starting to block First Street Northeast. It is against the law to block traffic, so officers are going to give our standard 3 warnings before they start making arrests." Capitol Police later said they had arrested 34 people total, including 16 members of Congress. Among those arrested were Assistant Speaker Catherine Clark of Massachusetts, Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, Barbara Lee of California, Jackie Spire of California, Sarah Jacobs of California, Ihan Omar of Minnesota, Bonnie Watson Coleman of New Jersey, Andy Levin of Michigan.
Let's go, ally Andy. Finally a boy in there.
Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, Jan Schakowsky of Illinois, Madeline Dean of Pennsylvania, Cori Bush of Missouri, Carolyn Maloney of New York, Nydia Vasquez of New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, and Alma Adams of North Carolina. I mean, yeah, I hope that Andy is a man because...
You know, Andy is. I saw a photo.
Yeah, because I was like, otherwise, that is sad that only one man participated. But yeah, I mean, obviously, they all went out with the intention of being arrested to make a splash, and good for them.
I saw someone tweet that someone, like a Hillary person who still like has... Anyway, they were like, "Where was Bernie on that list?" Bitch, he's 80-something. What do you mean? It's so funny to say that.
Just because you back a cause doesn't mean that you're going to be at every fucking event backing that cause.
So insane.
Maybe they didn't include him in the group text. I don't even like Bernie, but I'm not mad that he wasn't there.
Not in the group text.
Oh, my God.
That hurt my feelings.
All right.
My article is incredible. So you would think that, like, I don't know what would you assume they would react like?
Well, what do you mean to that? Well,
what do you think a conservative, like, if you are a conservative?
Well, my brain is clouded because I know
what they did already.
And also people who listen to this show were like DMing me pictures of AOC just holding her hands behind her back, but not actually in handcuffs or zip ties or anything. And I mean, I looked into, you know, I fact checked that and everything. But then when you think about it logically, you're like, well, you know, you just want to keep your hands, you know, away in a place where you could see them when you're dealing with the cops.
That's, he's also like holding your hand behind you. If anyone's ever been led away by their arm, like, she's not just gonna like hold hands with a police officer and stand next to him. One hand is pulled behind you. They hold your arm from behind, so you're gonna awkwardly, like, she just put her hand behind her back. I don't know.
I would have linked fingers.
People were like, she's pretending like she's being arrested, and then she raised her fist. It's like, yeah. What do you mean?
Well, they thought it was
she's
a gotcha.
She's obviously not doing that.
They thought it was a gotcha moment and that she forgot she was pretending to be arrested. And I was like, well, guys, like, anyone can see clearly that there's nothing around her wrist. So, like, she would have had to do a better job of pretending to get arrested. But I did look into it because I was like, okay, that's, you know, interesting. I also have never been arrested, so I don't know exactly what happened. I mean, I've seen people be arrested.
It's such an insane take to be like, she was pretending. Firstly, she did actually get arrested. She wasn't put in handcuffs, but she was arrested. So it's like,
So every time you get arrested, you're not handcuffed?
Not always. If you're like, listen, if you're me, you get put in handcuffs.
Right. But if you're a lady, you don't?
If you're Ocasio-Cortez and the cop's just like, what am I going to put handcuffs on you for?
Well, I mean, also, yeah, I mean, I'm sure like the last thing they want to do is like be caught manhandling one of the most famous politicians.
Yeah.
That's not going to be a great look for them when they're already not doing well publicity-wise.
I've been cuffed. I've been cuffed here in New York.
Well, I'm sure you have. That's why I was asking you.
Yeah.
What did you do this year?
I was searched. Yeah. I matched like they just searched me, and then they put me in handcuffs because there was only two of them, and they, you know, the guy has to like watch you or whatever.
They were scared of you.
Yeah, genuinely. And so they
don't know what a warm heart
pat me down. And then, well, it's because I skate late at night and I walk with my backpack and I look like I'm either doing graffiti or up to something. And so it's a whole thing. Anyway, former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. Dude, I don't know, man. Sorry.
Blagojevich.
Wow. That is fun to say when you hear it right, though.
Sometimes
Thank you.
You like know that person exists, and then when you see their name of the person that you know exists written out, you're like, I wouldn't have matched those two.
Yeah. Shout out, Alec. How do you know that?
He was a very famous guy, and I just remember.
Yeah, now that I hear the name, I'm like, oh, that's.
Oh, okay.
I get it now.
I know what he's done. I just didn't know how to say his name, I guess. Ocasio-Cortez, Thursday after she went viral for embellishing the circumstances of her arrest. She didn't go viral. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Ocasio-Cortez, listen, anyone who's ever posted like a wedding photo or like an important event or them being arrested is going to get a lot of likes. It doesn't matter if you're pretending to, like, it doesn't. Anyway, Ocasio-Cortez is one of several lawmakers who were placed under arrest this week for blocking the street while protesting the overturning of Roe v. Wade in front of the Supreme Court. The, quote, squad leader was seen. Also, why is she the leader? That doesn't matter.
She's the most popular one.
Okay. She's the mean girls. Do you think they have a burn book? Her and Ilhan Omar, like, in there.
That would be sick.
Just, like, taking photos of people and, like, gluing them with a glue stick and being, like, stupid bitch. And it's Nancy Pelosi.
I don't think that it is Nancy Pelosi.
I think it would
I think that's your burn book.
No, I think they don't like Nancy Pelosi. The squad leader was seen escorted by a police officer with her hands behind her back as if she was placed in handcuffs, except she wasn't actually restrained.
That's a hot couple right there, that police officer arresting her and AOC.
Yeah, they kind of are. And then who's get the fuck out of here, lady on the right. No, I'm just kidding.
With your red bubble t-shirt.
That's how every threesome is, though. There's only one person where you're like, you have to be here for it to be a threesome. But
you know what? I didn't want to say it, but thank you for saying it. I didn't want to be the one.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anyway, no, she's great. They won't stop at Roe. It's a good shirt. In video clips shared across Twitter, Ocasio-Cortez kept her hands in what critics swiped were invisible handcuffs, only to raise her fist in the air to express solidarity with reporters. Sure. Her colleague, Representative Ilhan Omar, similarly followed suit and kept her hands in a handcuff-like position as she walked, even without being escorted by law enforcement, also raising her fist after. Also, let me read this picture caption real quick. Representative Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat from New York, arrested... they don't say who this other person is. By the way, I'm not throwing shade at how this other person looks. I'm just, Ocasio-Cortez is a famous person and you're just there.
We all just know that Shane's obsessed with AOC.
Yeah.
Masturbates to her nightly.
No, come on. Don't be crass.
Every other night.
She's a lady and she deserves better. All right. Ocasio.
I mean,
your face is so disappointed.
Do you even believe the bullshit coming out of your own mouth?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ocasio-Cortez has since denied accusations that she was faking being handcuffed, insisting to her critics that putting your hands behind your back is a best practice while detained, handcuffed or not.
Yeah, literally.
I mean, come on. To avoid escalating charges like resisting arrest. Blagojevich, who famously had his own run-in with the law, had some fun at the expense of the progressive lawmaker as well as himself. AOC pretends to be handcuffed. At least when I get arrested for real, Blagojevich exclaimed. The former Democratic governor also shared an image of his 2008 mugshot, comparing it to a handcuffless mugshot of Ocasio a mugshotless Ocasio-Cortez. He has her by the arm. Like, I don't get, she's just...
Well, and also the joke is Blagojevich committed a real crime, and then she was just protesting, and he was like, he's like reminding us what a bad dude he is.
You know who pardoned him?
A president?
Trump.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so Blagojevich faced federal charges and was accused of a pay-to-play scheme involving personal gain in the filling the Senate seat left vacant by Barack Obama following the 2008 presidential election. He was sentenced to 14 years in prison.
That's a long time.
In 2020, President Trump commuted Blagojevich's prison sentence after the former governor served 8 years behind bars.
Damn.
Notably, Blagojevich appeared as a contestant on the third season of Celebrity Apprentice, which aired on NBC in 2010. He was fired by Trump in the fourth episode. Blagojevich now proudly identifies himself as a Trumpocrat.
What is fucking wrong with people?
Anyway, I just thought it was so insane to be like, she faked... It's like, sure, man, I guess if that's what you want to say to feel better about this, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw, I mean, I think that's just like what you do, like, you know, so you don't get fucking shot by the police, so they don't think you're reaching for something. I mean, it just seems like you should leave your hands where they can see them.
It's also
everyone
like,
knows
it's
that.
A non-thing.
Right.
It's just like,
well,
who cares?
Everyone, you know, there's a lot of like girl hate towards AOC. Yeah. It's very interesting. But yeah, if you go to PolitiFact, and again, like just because it's called PolitiFact doesn't mean that it's 100% reputable. But I mean, I did do some research on it. And she also provided AOC in her Instagram stories. She provided like the paperwork that she was presented with and the fine that she would be paying, which I think was like $50. So, you know. And again, I mean, like, if we're questioning it, like whether or not they went out that day with the intention of getting arrested to make a point. Yeah, I think they absolutely did that on purpose. But like they didn't get fake arrested. They got real arrested.
Yeah. I mean, that's what protesters do. Regular people get arrested
right.
to make a point.
That's like part of it. Like it's kind of like a pat on the back. Like I've protested and blocked off traffic, which is where you start risking arrest among other things.
Yeah.
And there is like a fucking thrill to it. You know, like
this
is cool. But you need to do something that obstructs everyday life to make your point sometimes. So like, you know, in my case that was like blocking traffic on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah Listen, I mean, yeah, I've been in protest situations.
Shane lit something on fire. I'm sure whatever Shane did was illegal, but
yeah, listen, I was in Utah during the, you know, those one protests. Who knows what happened in Utah? Definitely
Jesus
not
Christ.
The National Guard showing up because a bunch of the protesters came armed. So,
I'm closing out the day.
By the way, I genuinely advocate for that. If you're going to protest, show up with your rifle. What are the police going to do? You're allowed to have it.
I mean, not everywhere.
I mean, that's what happened in Utah.
You have to be in a right to carry state.
Yeah. But
like,
I mean, enough people brought their rifles to the protest that the police just let the protesters do whatever they wanted. Then they had to call in the National Guard like pussies.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, don't just show up in, you know, like other states with a rifle.
In Texas is the same thing.
You have to.
They had a bunch of the protesters didn't get arrested and stuff because they had like, you know, groups of people just hanging out with rifles.
You heard it here, folks. Start a shootout with the police.
Don't start a shootout. I'm just saying.
Just let them know. Just swing your dick around.
That's, yes.
We get it.
Anyway.
All right. So Alex Jones, miss my boo, from the Washington Post, as Sandy Hook defamation trial begins, Alex Jones might be absent, which is just like, as a, you know, as a reminder, what Alex Jones did, what he just said, like this school shooting where a bunch of kids died was just literally made up. It's like when people say like the Holocaust didn't happen. You're like, what? Okay.
It was really bad. It was a really bad thing that he should never have done.
Just like ultimate conspiracy theories. And, you know, that's been happening for a long time. So as a civil trial begins Tuesday in Texas to determine how much Alex Jones owes in defamation damages to the parents of the victims of the 2012 mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School after he falsely claimed the massacre was, quote, a giant hoax, unspecified medical problems could prevent the right-wing conspiracy theorist from being in the courthouse, according to his attorney. So he's taking a page from the book of Harvey Weinstein, which is incredible. Remember when he was going in with his little little walker with the tennis balls on the edge.
Yeah.
I couldn't have raped everybody.
Did he die in prison yet?
No, he's still alive.
Bummer.
During jury selection on Monday, Jones's attorney, F. Andino Reynal, told the Austin courtroom that the founder of InfoWars, quote, has medical issues that could keep him from showing up during parts of the trial, even though he has no obligation to be here. Alex, you may have noticed, is not here like the plaintiffs, said Reynal, according to the News Times in Danbury, Connecticut. He may not be here through parts of the trial. The defense attorney reiterated to KXAN in Austin after the jury selection was complete that he had spoken to Jones's doctors and made the decision that Jones shouldn't be here. He wants to be here, Reynal said. While Reynal did not specify what medical issues, I heard it was ED, could prevent the 48-year-old from attending the trial in person, Jones, who has already lost several defamation lawsuits related to his Sandy Hook falsehoods, has previously blamed stress and cardiovascular effects from his coronavirus infection for missing depositions in the Connecticut trial last year. Jones has also faced daily fines of $25,000 from a Connecticut judge for failing to show up for court-ordered depositions in March. Reynal did not immediately respond to a request for comment early Tuesday. Mark Blankston, an attorney for the family suing Jones, also did not immediately respond to the Washington Post's request for comment. Blankston told the Associated Press that the families were very glad the day is here to begin the trial. We're looking forward to telling our client's story, Blankston said. Jones faces another possible financial blow years after he said the deadliest elementary school shooting in U.S. history, in which 26 people were killed in Newton, Connecticut, 20 of them young children, was a, quote, false flag operation carried out by, quote, crisis actors. While Jones has since acknowledged that the shooting took place and blamed his false claims on a form of psychosis.
Okay.
He has been banned from major platforms such as Facebook, YouTube, and Spotify for violating their hate speech policies.
It sucks. He's so banned. There's a ban. He's so banned from these things that there is a band, a music group called Alex Jones Prison Planet. Shout out Alex Jones Prison Planet. Look it up on YouTube. Very fun. And they're like a heavy metal band that just plays Alex Jones quotes over the music. If you guys want to look up a little snippet of that, it's great and so fun, but they got banned off of Spotify and they were like doing well because it says Alex Jones in there.
Yeah, man.
It's a huge bummer.
No one can catch a break right now.
No, it sucks.
He also placed his conspiracy website, InfoWars, into bankruptcy protection before the Texas trial was initially set to begin in April. Judges in Connecticut and Texas have found Jones liable for damages in the lawsuits stemming from his false claims. In default judgments against Jones and InfoWars last October, District Judge Maya Guerra Gamble of Travis County, Texas, ruled that Jones did not comply with court orders to give information in a pair of 2018 lawsuits brought against him by the families of two children killed in the 2012 massacre. Jones repeatedly did not hand over documents and evidence to the court supporting his damaging and erroneous claims. Jones has been previously ordered to pay tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees to families who have sued him. Nine families have sued him over the years. An escalating series of judicial admonishments, monetary penalties, and non-dispositive sanctions have all been ineffective at deterring the abuse, Gamble wrote last year. Gamble's 2021 rulings related to two 2018 lawsuits filed by Sandy Hook parents, Leonard Posner and Veronique De La Rosa, who lost their six-year-old son, Noah, and Scarlett Lewis, whose six-year-old son, Jesse, was also killed in the shooting. Posner and De La Rosa said they have faced emotional distress and have been harassed for years by, can you imagine, by InfoWars fans who have followed Jones's lead and falsely claimed that the shooting was staged. Jones acknowledged on his InfoWars website earlier this year that he had missed pretrial depositions for the 2021 trial in Connecticut, citing health reasons related to COVID-19. I thought that was also fake, guys. The Food and Drug Administration and health experts have blasted Jones for promoting and selling products on his website that he falsely claimed would boost your immune system against the virus. I started getting sick after I got COVID last year, like everybody else. It attacked the cardiovascular system, okay? Jones said in an audio message posted in March. I'm 48 and I'm under a lot of stress. Oh my
God. Damn, he's 48?
I know. I thought he was like 60.
Yeah.
He looks like shit.
Well, he's hard. That's hard living right there.
Oh my God.
He's the most blown out 48-year-old.
Whoa. Jurors in Austin, where InfoWars is headquartered, will not hear evidence about the defamation claims, but instead determine how much in compensatory and punitive damages, Jones must pay the victims' families. While Jones has claimed in court filings that he has a net worth of negative $20 million, attorneys for the Sandy Hook families have pointed to records showing that Jones's InfoWars store made more than $165 million. They do have good products. We were going to buy them for this because they had like this like bunker down dry food thing, and me and DeRosa really wanted to eat it. But so they made $165 million between 2015 and 2018. Among those expected to testify Tuesday are Daria Karpova, a producer at InfoWars, and Daniel Jewis, feels rude to say that, who was the lead investigator of the Sandy Hook shooting for the Connecticut State Police. Scarlett Lewis and Neil Heslin, the parents of Jesse Lewis, are also expected to testify during the trial. Gamble, the judge presiding over the case, said the trial is expected to last 2 weeks. She urged jurors not to read or watch any of the news related to the Jones, related to Jones or the case. And we all know how well that worked during the Johnny Depp trial. We want a trial based only on the evidence presented in court, she said.
Okay.
What's that?
So, can we get a little snippet of Alex Jones' Prison Planet, please?
You love this band. This is like the second time you've promoted them. Are they paying you?
They're great. No, I just like Prison Planet.
Send me a shirt. Staring yourself in the mirror and showing some teeth and saying, I'm a human being. I have dignity. I'm going to resist. I'm going to start recognizing the propaganda. I'm going to break free from it. Humanity's going to come together. You punch me, I'll pull your arms out of your sockets. I'm sick of your crap. I'm sick of you raping my country. I'm sick of you shutting our country down. I'm sick of you. All right, yeah, yeah. It's pretty wild, right? That was hot. I liked that.
Oh, it's so fun. It's really good to work out to. People, if you put it on the Bluetooth speaker at the gym, it really weirds people out. So my article is by Newsweek.
Who's giving you access to Bluetooth at a public gym, Shane?
Maniacs. People who don't understand what's going to happen.
Oh,
I can't tell you
God.
How often someone gives me the aux cord to a thing and I go, hey, I'm going to listen to music I like. And they go, no, yeah, that's what I want. I'm curious. And I go, you're going to dislike it. You're going to dislike it. And they go, no, I like it. And I go, all right. Alex Jones' Prison Planet is one of the more palatable things I listen to.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, there was actually like some kind of a melody to that.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know. I listen to a lot of crazy shit.
I just love the notion of you like relaxing to like.
I do.
I genuinely know you do. I know
oh
you
my
do.
God. Earlier, I fell asleep while listening to Infant Annihilator and it was very nice. Oh.
I bet they're pro-choice.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. They're from Britain, so they don't got to worry about it.
Yeah.
This is an article by Newsweek, and the title is Alex Jones' ex-wife says she has, quote, insider info for January 6th committee.
Yes.
Alex Jones, what the fuck are you getting into, bro?
Yes. I love a scorned woman who wants to talk.
Conspiracy theorist Alex Jones' ex-wife says she has, quote, insider info that will be welcomed by the House Select Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. I'm so curious. What could he have? Who does he know? Is it Steve Bannon?
I don't know. Maybe she's just going to post nudes of him.
I mean, I think those exist. I'm Alex Jones' ex-wife, and you go ahead and look that up, and lost my kids for exposing InfoWars. Even while he was under subsequent federal investigation, I have insider info that I believe is relevant to the January 6th committee hearings. Please share, Kelly Jones tweeted with more than 40 times on Tuesday. Oh, my God. You get a hint. When people tweet that much about anything, you're like, you're muted. Alongside previous tweets she has posted, her comments came after the panel during its seventh televised hearing on Tuesday showed how a tweet from former President Donald Trump called his supporters to Washington, D.C. on January 6th was viewed by some as a call to arms. Trump tweeted on December 19th, 2020 about a big protest at the coming joint session of Congress. Be there, will be wild, Trump wrote.
Yes.
Fucking goddamn. Trump's purpose was to mobilize a crowd, said Maryland Representative Jamie Raskin, a Democratic committee member. Raskin said key Trump supporters, including far-right media personalities, began promoting the wild protests on January 6th. The panel played a montage of videos and social media posts showing how the tweet was promoted by Alex Jones and other right-wing figures. It's Saturday, December 19th in the year is 2020, and one of the most historic events in American history has just taken place. President Trump, in the early morning hours today, tweeted that he wants American people to march on Washington, D.C. on January 6th, 2021. Alex Jones, the founder of far-right website InfoWars, said in the footage played by the panel. So, it's interesting. In January this year, Alex Jones said he had invoked his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination almost 100 times while testifying before the panel. That's literally like that Chappelle bit, like, I plead the fifth, three, four, fifth. Like, it's like, what are you, 100 times?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
almost,
yeah.
Like, he did something wrong.
Almost. The panel last year issued subpoenas to Alex Jones as a part of its probe into the day Trump supporters stormed the Capitol to disrupt the certification of Joe Biden's election victory. Alex Jones had helped organize the rally at the Ellipse. What is this? I don't know. That preceded the violence. Mississippi Representative Benny Thompson, Democratic chairman of the panel, said in a letter. Thompson said Alex Jones had repeatedly promoted Trump's claims of election fraud, urged his followers to come to Washington for the rally and march for the, I don't know how to say this word. Can someone figure out how this word is pronounced for me, please?
You did it right. Ellipse.
Ellipse? Yeah. Ellipse to the Capitol. Thank you so much. He also made statements implying that you had knowledge about the plans of President Trump with respect to the rally, Thompson added. Newsweek has contacted Kelly Jones, a lawyer representing Alex Jones and the January 6th committee, for comment. But they have not reached back. So...
Oh, okay. The ellipse is a, it's capitalized, because I'm like, what the fuck are they talking? It's a place in D.C. that I just didn't know about, and the distance between the ellipse and Capitol Hill is 2 miles.
Oh, okay.
So it's a geographical place, because I was like, wait, what? I mean, obviously I know the word ellipse as in like the shape or, you know, thing that happens in the sky, but I was what are you talking about?
Okay. An eclipse.
Jesus Christ. Now we're getting really dumb. No, but an ellipse is like an oval.
When I saw it, I was like, an ellipse.
Yeah, I was like, it's a word, but I was like, they're capitalizing it. It has to mean something else. Jesus Christ.
All right.
Again.
Yep. So that's the show. Do you have anything you wanna plug?
That I wanna add? Oh no, I was just looking. Sorry, I was looking for Alex Jones nudes, but I believe there's also a porn star named Alex Jones, who's like a female. So that was kind of throwing me off track a little bit.
You were seeing her? How's she doing?
I didn't want to start having porn pop up on my computer, so I didn't click on any of it. But
I'll go ahead and do it for science while you do your plugs.
She didn't seem like my type. Okay, so yes, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If you are watching this either on the live stream on Tuesday, or if you are listening to this on Saturday in the day, tonight, July 30th, I'm at Bottle Rocket Social Hall. If there's still tickets left, it's one show. There's a lot of tickets already sold out, but check it out. Again, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Bottle Rocket Social Hall tonight, July 30th. If you're listening on Saturday, very excited to be there. And then Cleveland, Ohio. I'm going to be headlining Hilarities August 26th and 27th. 4 shows total. Please come out to that. I'll have my girl Wendy Steiner with me. Going to be a really fun time. And then September 16th, which is a Friday, I just got clearance that I'm going to do a Motor City Comedy Festival in Detroit, Michigan. The link for that isn't up yet, but just hold the date if you're in Detroit, because I haven't been there in quite some time. That'll be fun. Excited to be part of the festival. Atlanta, Georgia, Saturday, September 10th. I am going to be at the Center Stage Theater with Christina Hutchinson. And then Saturday, September 24th, Norwalk, Connecticut. Saturday, September 24th, co-headlining the Wall Street Theater with Christina Hutchinson. So a lot of dates coming up. If you're in any of those areas, you can go to CorinneFisher.com for the ticket links that are available. Now, if they're not up yet, that means the ticket link isn't available. There's also a Linktree link in the bio of my profile on Instagram, which is at Philanthropy Gal. I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, all at Philanthropy Gal. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right. I am going to be in Cleveland, Ohio on August 4th. Fort Wayne, Indiana, 5th and 6th at Hilarities and then Summit City Comedy Club, respectively. August 19th and 20th, Wilmington, North Carolina. August 26th and 27th, Springfield, Missouri. And there's some time in between there. I'm at some summer camp thing that I think is public, but I'm not sure. Listen, ShaneSmithComedy.com. I'm also going to be in San Diego in October and Tampa and Orlando. What? He'll go anywhere. So ShaneSmithComedy.com, at Shados or on social media or whatever. Yep, that's it.
Yeah, and just make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Without a Country Podcast, and follow us on Instagram. We have clips. It's going to be a fun time. We appreciate you.
Thanks, bitch. Have a great day.
Bye. We love you.